At least 140 American soldiers committed suicide last year, giving the Army its highest suicide rate in decades. One military leader who's taken a lead in addressing the issue is our next guest, General Mark Graham, commander of Fort Carson, Colorado. Graham's experience with the issue is personal. In June 2003, his son Kevin, a promising ROTC cadet at the University of Kentucky, took his own life after battling depression. Graham's older son, Jeff, was killed in action in Iraq 8 months later. General Graham has worked as a commander and advocate to heighten the military's awareness of stress and mental illness among its soldiers and to improve their treatment. Well, General Graham, welcome to Fresh Air. Before military suicide affected you personally, was this a problem that you were aware of as a soldier or a commander?
Well, I was, certainly not to the extent I am now. You know, for years since I've been in the Army, we've done suicide prevention classes. But I have to tell you, before, you know, years ago, suicide prevention classes were one of many required classes that you gave, and we put the soldiers in a classroom, and we gave them a pretty standard briefing. It was a 30-minute thing on suicide, and I mean, frankly, it was okay. It wasn't very dynamic, and it wasn't some units I'm sure did a lot better than others, but it was one of those, okay, here we go, got another class that's mandatory, required to do.
You know, I mean, I guess the phrase to me today is you know, we get it, and we're doing a lot more about it, and we recognize that that investigating a suicide after it's over is important to do, to see what you can learn from it. But what we really want to do is to get left of this and to prevent suicides.
When you say get left of it, you mean get out in front of it, right?
Yes, yeah. Get left of it. You often hear us say, right, you know, get left of the boom. We want to get left of the event, and right, exactly right, get out in front of it so we can prevent these. Because oftentimes when you go back and look at suicide, as is with my wife and I with our son, Kevin, when you go back and look at it, you see the warning signs that were there, and you just don't understand, why didn't we see this coming? Why, you know, why didn't we know this?
Let's talk about your son, Kevin. In 2003, he was a 21-year-old ROTC cadet at the University of Kentucky. Wanted to be an Army doctor, right?
Yes.
Soldier of great promise, right? Selected for airborne training. At the time of his suicide, I believe you were stationed in Korea.
Correct.
Looking back on it, what understanding do you feel you have about what Kevin was going through that might have led to this?
I don't think I can even imagine what he was going through. The pain he was going through and his feelings and his sometimes hopelessness, I don't think I can ever imagine. I don't think I can even fathom what he was going through. I can tell you, I spoke. It took me a long time before I could ever speak about suicide. But I did speak one day, probably a year, year and a half after Kevin died. I spoke to a group on a Saturday morning. And afterward, I had a man come up to me, and this man came up to me and said, you know, thank you for speaking out. Thank you for saying something about suicide. And, of course, I was very emotional. It was pretty hard, and it was the first time I'd spoken. And he looked at me, and he said, he goes, you know, General, I've tried to take my life three times. He said, but let me tell you, because he goes, I do understand what your son was going through, and let me explain to you. It's like being in a dark tunnel, and you keep looking to the end of the tunnel to see any light, and there is no light. And he said, it's the most excruciating, worst pain you could ever imagine. And all you're thinking about is getting out of the pain right now. And he goes, that's what you go through when you go through this with depression. And he said, I just want to let you know that so you're aware of what a little bit of what your son was going through. And I'll tell you, that man helped me right then in a way that it's been very comforting to me to at least understand it a little better. You know, I oftentimes tell people, you know, our sons both died fighting different battles. And I clearly believe Kevin died fighting a battle with depression and lost the fight.
You know, I have to say, I mean, I can only imagine how difficult it must be for you to talk about this. Few things are more heartbreaking than the suicide of a young person, and particularly one's own child. But I know that you have a deep commitment to trying to deal with these issues in the military. And as we look at that, you know, I know that Kevin – you were aware of his depression, and he had been receiving treatment from it. Now, I read that he had stopped taking the medication. In looking back at that, I wonder if you think the way that the Army dealt with people who are taking medications for mental and emotional issues, made it more likely that he would have abruptly stopped taking it, and whether that might have contributed to the outcome.
Well, I think that's part of the stigma. Whether it was the Army or just society in general, it was part of the stigma to be on medication, to be on medication for depression. And also, I know there were side effects that Kevin probably didn't like as well. But, I mean, one time he even told his mom, he said, "Mom, I don't want to have to take a pill to be happy the rest of my life." So those should have been key warning signs for us to know this is going down a slippery slope here in a road that's not good. But we heard it. We listened to him. He was getting counseling. He was on medication, but he did come off the meds. We understand. And that's one thing I try to tell people about depression medicine is sometimes it takes a while for it to start taking effect and it starts to work. And then they think, well, I'm better now. And they stop taking it. And you can't do that. You need to go back to your doctor before you change anything with your medications, whether you come off it or stop and taper off or whatever. You got to go see a doctor first because it's very dangerous to do that. So I think that was just part of the stigma with Kevin is, not wanting someone to know he was on that.
It was less than a year after Kevin's death that your older son, Jeff, was killed while on patrol in Iraq. And, of course, people treat servicemen and women who were killed in action as heroes. And I'm wondering if you were struck by any differences in the way people dealt with you about the differences in the deaths of your two sons.
Absolutely. There's no comparison. And I'll quote my wife here. When my wife says sometimes, we thought we were the worst parents in the world when we lost Kevin. And then the same parents treating our kids, raising our kids the best we can the same way. 8 months later, we lose Jeffrey in Iraq, and people said he was a hero, that he helped save lives of his platoon. They were both heroes to us. They were both great young men. And you're right. When we lost Kevin, you didn't see anything like you did when we lost Jeffrey.
So let's talk about some of the ways the Army needs to change. The military functions on discipline. In battlefield situations, there has to be no question about people obeying commanders and following orders. But that tends to create, a macho ethic and one which sort of says you got to suck it up. You've got to be tough. What are some of the specific ways? What are some of the ways you think the military culture needs to change, and how do you make that happen?
Well, I think we're doing it now. I mean, I think we're making that happen, and senior leaders in the military are clearly doing that. One is just by their speaking out and letting people know. But the Army has some programs that the Army is using to help others. A huge piece of the stigma is getting leaders from the senior leaders all the way down to the youngest soldiers to know more about it, to understand depression, to understand suicide prevention. To help their buddies. For example, if a soldier breaks a leg or gets injured or gets shot in combat, soldiers know what to do. They call for the medic to get even additional support, and then they get that soldier to care. Well, we need to continue to help our soldiers understand the risk signs and the warning signs of depression or of potential suicide so that we can get that soldier to care before they get hurt. You wear body armor to protect you before you get shot, but once you get shot, or what you get injured or something with shrapnel or anything else, you get them to care. So we need to arm our soldiers with information so that they are aware. Hey, if you see your buddy doing these things or you hear your buddy saying these sort of things, those are warning signs that your buddy's reaching out or your buddy's telling you that he's going through something. You need to get him to care.
One way to change behavior in any organization is to change how that organization rewards and punishes behavior. And I'm wondering if there's been any effort to either commend or promote commanders who are particularly sensitive and help soldiers who are in mental or emotional trouble, or cases where people have been demoted or transferred or reprimanded or in some way held accountable for not giving soldiers help that they need.
Well, I mean, I think this is part of the overall big picture for the Army and how we do business. And it needs to be something that, commanders do think about. And I think they do. I mean, I think the awareness is more now than it's ever been in our Army, and I think commanders are seeing that sometimes, and what we're trying to do now is help our junior commanders understand and see For me, it's to see better. If you have a soldier that's coming to you for an alcohol issue, they got in trouble for a DUI or a drug offense, I know you're going to do good order and discipline. You've got to do something. You can't condone that. But step back from it. Make sure you get them into substance abuse program, but also step back and look at it and say, is there more to this?
The issue of military suicides has gotten a lot of media attention over the last year or two. But when you began raising this issue a few years back, it was probably less widely talked about. And I wonder if, as you began talking about this within the military, if other commanders ever might have felt other commanders ever looked at you as someone who, under the weight of personal tragedy, had lost perspective or gone soft or had undervalued the importance of military discipline. Did you ever get that sense from folks as you tried to raise this issue?
No, I've not. When we lost Kevin, our military family is, the Army seems like a huge organization, but I can tell you the Army gets pretty small pretty fast. And when we lost Kevin, the Army was there for us every step of the way. It was pretty tremendous. Our own family, I think, was even taken aback a little bit about how great the Army was to us and how supportive they were to us when we lost Kevin to suicide. The ROTC detachment at the University of Kentucky, the active Army, everyone was wonderful. And the Army even told my son Jeff, Major General Terry Tucker was the commanding general of Fort Knox, Kentucky at the time, and he even told my son Jeff, who was scheduled to go to Fort Riley to deploy with a unit from the 1st Infantry Division. General Tucker told my son, you don't have to go that assignment. We'll keep you here at Fort Knox and we'll give you a different job, but you've been through a tragedy in your family, and if you want to stay here, we will keep you here and you won't have to deploy here. And my son told him, thank you very much, but he said, I need to go. I need to go be with my men. So as a dad, that was hard. As a soldier, I understood why my son made that decision, but as a father, that was a hard one for me. Because as a dad, if Jeff would have stayed, and wouldn't have deployed, what would have happened? But I do believe there is a plan out there. I don't get to vote on it, but I do believe there is one.
Mm-hmm. General Graham, there's a lot of attention paid to the suicide rate in the military in 2008. To what extent do you think the increase in suicides that we've seen are related to the repeated deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I think it's clearly hard on soldiers and their families. I don't think there's any question about it. I think that's pretty well understood that this is hard. These are hard times for our nation and for our Army. And our, the leaders of our Army have said our Army is stressed, and it is, and the families are too. And those, some of that's why it's so even more important now that we're aware of the warning signs to when you see that, and I call it a crescendo, when you see that crescendo coming of risk factors and warning signs, we need to get in early and intervene early to assist the soldier and this family.
You took command of Fort Carson, I believe, in September of 2007. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, there's been a fair amount of some criticism and controversy surrounding the treatment of some servicemen at Fort Carson. There was a piece in Salon, the online magazine, about a soldier who had tape-recorded a session with a psychiatrist, and he had tape-recorded it because he had a short-term memory loss. And according to the story, the psychiatrist confessed to him that he had been getting pressure to downgrade diagnosis so that soldiers were not diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, which would suggest that there was a way – in a way, mental health issues weren't being taken as seriously as they should have been, perhaps to save money in treatment and benefits. What do you make of that case?
Well, I'll tell you, when I found out about that, and it was summer of 08 that I found out about it. I think it was on the 2nd of July, actually. And when I found out about it, I reported that up quickly up the chain of command through the medical chain, as well as up the normal chain of command, to make leaders at higher levels aware. And the concern was if one provider would have said, something like this provider said, would have been one thing. But when the provider said that they all were feeling this pressure, that to me was a red flag and a concern. So we raised the issue up. The Army Medical Command immediately decided to do a 15-6 investigation on this, and they sent someone from Department of the Army level. So it was not even a Fort Carson person, but not even a not even from the medical region. It was a person out of Washington that came down here, so they were very removed from the situation, and came down and did an investigation and interviews and talked to determine what is there something here? I mean, what's going on here? And they did that. They came out and looked at this and made some determinations. I have not seen that report, but I know others have. And they made a determination that they did not see any evil or wrongdoing there on the part of that. There were some challenges, and part of it was the documentation to determine PTSD. But the Army made a change in December of 08 that changed the criteria for determining PTSD and the diagnosis of PTSD.
Right.
And I can't tell you the results of that, but intuitively, I think what you'll see is that will solve some of those challenges. Now, that doesn't mean it's all going to get corrected and to satisfaction of some, but I mean, I think it'll be easier now for them to show PTSD because of the requirement. There's a requirement that was in there before that's now been taken out.
Yeah, I mean, just to finish the record on this, I mean, Salon said in their follow-up interviews, it appears that the Army investigation actually did not include an interview of the psychiatrist who was tape recorded saying that he had been pressured to change the diagnosis, or the person who had headed the Department of Behavioral Health there. Do you feel like you have to battle with people in the Army command structure to get these issues taken seriously?
No, I don't. I mean, I certainly don't think I have to battle with them. I think we work through these together. And part of my job as the senior commander here is to raise these level issues to the senior levels so that they can look at these, as in this investigation did, so they can look at these independently.
You've said that there are encouraging signs in the way the Army is dealing with issues of stress and mental illness and suicide prevention. Are there things you see that tell you the military still has some work to do in this area?
Well, we're still having suicides. Will we ever stop all suicides? I'm an optimist, but frankly, I don't think we will. We one's too many. So I think that is a sign that, we're still losing soldiers, and losing one soldier to suicide's too many. Sergeant Major of the Army Preston has said that himself. He said, losing one soldier to suicide's one too many. So, to me, that's the indicator, is how do we help these soldiers and families and keep helping them to prevent suicides, but also to get them help from behavioral health issues.
Well, General Graham, I want to tell you that we certainly honor the sacrifice of your two sons and wish you and your family the best. And thanks so much for speaking with us.
Well, you're welcome. And if I could, before you sign off, at the graveside of my son, Jeff and Kevin, after we buried our son, Jeff, who was killed in Iraq, my wife and I went back to the graveside the next morning, and at the graveside, someone had left a banner with a magic marker written on a banner hung next to the graveside of our boys. And on that banner, it said, "Land of the Free because of the Brave." And I certainly believe that. And to this day, we don't know who put the banner there. But in everything I do and everything I say and write, I put on there now, "Land of the Free because of the Brave." And I'll use it the rest of my life, because I think this is the land of the free because of the brave. And I think both my boys were brave men.
Major General Mark Graham is a 32-year veteran of the Army and commander of Fort Carson, Colorado.